Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. 25 minutes away from Dan Quinn, his conversation with Dukes and Bell yesterday. He's on with Dukes and Bell every Tuesday at 3:10 throughout the football season. Yesterday was no different, and we'll let you hear what the coach had to say. Can I tell you what another one of the coaches had to say, Randy?
Yeah. Why shouldn't you do that, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what we do here. We react to what local newsmakers say in sports. And here's the example that I'm going to give, because you said this before we were going to break, and you're right. You were right about this. Absolutely. Your football analysis once again was spot on, Randy, which is one of the many reasons why people love listening to you on the radio.
But even if you talk about kissing cousins,
Kissing cousins and yams and all kinds of other really good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff that comes along with listening to Randy on the radio. Even if you told me you were going to slap me in the face, I'd still be mad if you slapped me in the face. You know what I mean? Well, I told you. Yes, I know you did, but it still hurt and it sucked, and I wish you wouldn't do it again. You told me yesterday, and all the listeners, that it just looked like the Falcons' defense didn't take the passing game as seriously as they should have. They geared up to stop the run, and it seems like that's how they approach the game. The Seahawks like to run the football. Pete Carroll has historically been a run-first type of head coach. Brian Schottenheimer as an offensive coordinator, and it looked like they went into that game expecting Chris Carson to be the linchpin of the offense, and that was their goal. Well, even though you told me that, Raheem Morris saying that earlier today still bugs me. Here's what he said. I don't have the direct quote, but Jason Butt of the AJC summed it up. He said they went into the game looking to stop Chris Carson and the run and didn't take the passing attack as seriously as they should have. He said they didn't do a good job having his guys disguise well enough. Mm-hmm. Take the passing game as seriously as you should. They know Russell Wilson's the quarterback over there, right?
That is correct.
They're aware of that?
This is the thing. This is the thing. All right, when you talk about the beginning of a season, you know what you base a lot of your game plan on? It's tendencies. Mm-hmm. Tendencies. And you said you made a great point earlier this week, Buck, talking about the run-pass tendencies of the Seattle Seahawks under the head coach of Pete Carroll. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. And that's the game plan. You stop the run with it because that's what they wanted. So they went off the tendencies of that, but didn't adjust to what they saw. Those tendencies weren't right. And by the time they adjusted, hell, they were getting foots put in them. And then we also know that, you know, I was reading this yesterday because I wanted to make sure that I was looking at it correctly. Russell Wilson publicly came out and said that he wants to let Russ cook.
Was the phrase. That's right. That was the big offseason movement among him and fans of that team. Sure. Yes.
That was the thing. But when you talk about the first part of the season, without any training camp, OTAs, or anything like that, you got to go with tendencies of what teams did the previous year or the tendencies of what their philosophy usually is. That's what the Falcons did defensively. I ain't saying it's right. Your assessment of getting slapped in the face is 100% correct. That still don't make me feel no damn better. Yeah, it still don't. You know what I mean? It doesn't. Well, it does not make me feel better.
Here's my general rule for stuff like this, because I'm mad that they played defense badly. You know, like, I'm mad that they gave up 38 points and they didn't play good on Sunday and they lost and they're 0-1 and a lot of it looked like problems they've had in the past. Nothing that Raheem Morris said was going to change that. And so I think you and I are kind of the same mind when it comes to things that athletes say to the media. I don't get fired up if guys are great interviews or if they're bad interviews. I don't get fired up if guys like talking to the media or if they don't like talking to the media. Sure, a soundbite is great, and this segment we're doing right here is literally based on good audio. So I like it because it's fun to use on the radio, but it doesn't change my opinion of what happened on Sunday. So there's nothing that Raheem Morris could have said that would have made it better. No. But sometimes you can make it worse. Sometimes they can make it worse. And just the thing that bugs me is the seriously. Did it take the passing attack as seriously as they should have? That's the thing. It's like, okay, I know the tendencies. I get it. You're right. 2 years ago, they ran the ball 55% of the time. Last year, they ran the ball 48% of the time. So it was a very good split. On Sunday, they passed the ball 70% of the time. Even though we talked about last week, hey, don't be surprised if they air it out a little bit more. I didn't see 35 attempts coming. I didn't see Russell Wilson going out there and throwing the ball like he did. Now, I understand why they did it, because we saw why they did it. It worked. But maybe they'll take both running and passing seriously this weekend.
Maybe that'll be what they do. Maybe, because we know that they're going to go by tendencies. tendency, so they're going to go, you know, they got to stop the run. But uh-huh. that's the thing with it. Everybody knows that you got to stop the run in Seattle. Everybody knows you got to stop Ezekiel Elliott. Everybody knows that. So, I mean, it's going to be a different game plan. Also, one of his coaches talking about A.J. Terrell matching his hands with his feet, something that he told us on our show, Andy, when we had him on, was one of the things that he wanted to focus on and one of the things he focused on last year. And when you don't have – when you're playing press man and your feet and your hands don't match, stuff like that happens to you. You know, stuff like that happens to you. So, yeah, but, I mean, that was, you know, it shouldn't make you feel bad as a Falcon fan that that's the reason why they look bad on defense. It shouldn't. It makes you, it should make you even more mad because why didn't you adjust to it faster? You saw right. they went away from it.
Oh, they passed the ball on five of the first six plays of the game. Maybe they're going with a slightly different game plan than they normally use. Let's adjust. Oh, okay, here's what we're going to do. Whether it's disguising the secondary, which, again, I don't necessarily think was the biggest issue, or whatever you need to do to make that adjustment on the fly, that's a problem because they didn't adjust to what Jamal Adams was doing fast enough before they were behind the eight ball. They certainly didn't adjust to what Russell Wilson was doing and that passing attack was doing. And I mean, making adjustments either in game or from week to week has been something that the Falcons coaching staff hasn't been great at over the last couple of years. Now, silver lining.
Hold on 1 second. I want, because this is something that goes that you went back, and I guess I'll just continue to slap in the face. This right here, I hate next gen stats and all that crap, but this is a funny one though. It says Russell Wilson was the only quarterback who didn't throw into a tight window in week one.
Not once.
There was Russell Wilson. It was the only quarterback that didn't throw into a tight window in week one.
35 passes, right? There's not one of them. What does tight window mean? Like that?
That's a great point.
I read that stat earlier this week. I didn't bring it up because I would have thought that you would have thought it was stupid. I'm glad you brought it up.
I think it's dumb as hell, but it's funny.
It is funny.
They had this other stat they were fussing about with Shannon, and again, it's just torture, but for some reason, I just love Shannon. Because Bayless, he always trying to defend Tom Brady. Said Tom Brady, the pro football dorks said that Tom Brady had six big-time throws in that game. What the hell is a big-time throw? Because the clips he showed, four were incomplete. What the hell? Who the hell makes up stats? All that damn Timmy.
Hey, Ma, got something new.
Well that yes, is Timmy. That is.
Yes, it, Timmy. Yes, Timmy. What is it? You know, just oh,
they do make up new ones because some Timmy did get himself in trouble last week or the week before by inventing a metric and then saying that Aaron Donald was average at it. See, Aaron Donald's not good at this. And then people were like, well, what's that stat? Like, oh, I came up with it this offseason. Wait a minute. You came up with a stat so you could say Aaron Donald wasn't good at something?
Yes,
what are you
doing?
what are we doing here?
He has the worst half step to the right trying to go left in the league. Like, what the hell does that mean, you daggone moron? That's what you are, a daggone moron.
Let me try to give you a little bit of silver lining here. To Raheem Morris's credit, they did stop the run. I mean, Chris Carson only had 21 rushing yards. So kudos to you, Raheem Morris, and Falcons defense. You did a wonderful job stopping the run.
Great job.
Great work. All right. It's time for the most important audio in the world. The big clip of the day brought to you by Johnson and Alday Injury Attorneys.
All day.
Visit johnsonallday.com.
We rotated him with Carp, and we'll see some more of that as we're going through this week. And that'll probably be the case, for a few weeks as we're, getting settled in on where we're at. Both players, Carp and Matt, had good points in their game that we liked.
And both of them struggled at times as well. But overall, the Falcons' offensive line looked improved. They're still going to be rotating Carpenter, as you heard Dan Quinn say, and Matt Hennessy at the left guard spot. I think we all know that they want Matt Hennessy to be the starter at some point. Don't know how long that's going to take. This weekend is going to be a much bigger test for that offensive line, though. The Seahawks have some good things about them, no doubt about it. But their pass rush is not chief among them. Dallas Cowboys get after the quarterback a little bit. And even Alden Smith, who'd been out of the league for 5 years, came out last weekend and looked pretty damn good. So, I think we felt good, all things considered, about the Falcons' offensive line against the Seahawks. We'll learn a lot more about what the offensive line looks like coming up this week. I mean, look, every weekend we're going to learn more about the offensive line. Yeah. But I think this one's a bigger test as far as pass protection.
Oh, no doubt about it, man, especially with those outside guys. And you looked at what Alden's effort was just unbelievable last weekend. I'm talking about Alden Smith. And then you look at DeMarcus. He was a non-factor. So you know he wants to get more. He's making all that bread. So they got to get that right. And, you know, on the other side, just saw that, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are working with a patchwork right side of their offensive line. Saw Cam Fleming, who is their swing tackle, now having to play. I think he's out. It said looked like he's been downgraded for a while. So, I mean, you know, they're going to be holes on that side right there. So if you're the Falcons defensively, and of course you got two more days to break this thing down. Look for a lot of things to go on their right side, the Falcons defensive left side. You saw a couple games last Sunday with Grady and Fowler, and they worked. Well, look for a lot of that this week on that right side of their offensive line, because they're going to be a patchwork.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see it. Again, that was something that looked pretty good. Certainly looked improved from last season, was the pass rush. And Tack McKinley was all fired up and got in the backfield as well. Hopefully that continues. We'll let you hear Dan Quinn's full interview with Dukes and Bell coming up in about 10 minutes. The Braves win last night. Here's a highlight from last night that made Randy McMichael make a funny sound effect.
And Freddie smokes that to right center field. That's down. Ronald streaking around second on his way to third. Over quickly is Mullins. Ronald's rolling around third. Throw to the plate is going to be late. And all the way around to third is Freddie Freeman. A big insurance run. Ronald Acuna Jr. scores from first, and the Braves lead 3-0.
Courtesy of Fox Sports South there, Chip Carey on the call on a ball that didn't even go to the wall. The ball didn't even go to the wall, and Ronald Acuna scored from first base. And he had to be careful and make sure it wasn't caught. Dude, when people complain about Ronald Acuna's hustle, which just, I mean, come on. It's the year 2020. Let's move past this nonsense. Just direct them to that. There's like five guys in baseball that could have done what Ronald Acuna did last night, scoring from first base. He's so damn fast, man. I love when he opens it up like that. That's a tool that he doesn't. Yeah, it's special. Special that he can do that.
He can roll. He can fly. And the one thing about him is that, and when you talk about the hustle, he's flashy with it. He liked to look at his home run balls, and I mean, he got in trouble with that a couple times last year, you know, and Snick had to sit him down. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this kid's overall effort in games is unmatched. You know, when you watch how he runs out of the box to first base on like a blooper infield hit, he runs, he rolls, he tries to get there every single time. So we'll get it. He'll be all right. But yeah,
I think Acuna
is
cold.
It's and people are talking about some happy Cole Hamels Day. Really?
Are we doing that?
Are we doing that? Really?
Are we doing
happy Cole Hamels Day? Really? Like the only person I know that does a happy every day at something, you'd be like, huh? It's Wendy. Every time when you know it's happy, you're like, huh? Oh. Yeah,
she's Wendy right. Does know about the days. She knows
about every day.
National something day.
It's national something day. What national is it today, Wendy? Because it's national something.
National
plug in the TV day, or national stop stealing cable, or something like that.
Wendy just said something nasty about today. That was pretty good. It's Cole Hamels Day for some, okay? I don't know who those some are, but if that's what today is for you, then get excited. Your bar for Cole Hamels today, Randy, was don't suck.
That's it.
Brian Gebhardt's bar early in the day for Cole Hamels was don't get hurt. Mine was just don't get lost on the way to the stadium. All right? Like, this is his first game of the year. He hadn't been there yet. You don't get lost on the way. Get out to the mound. He's got 55 to 60 pitches he can throw. And look, hopefully it's positive. Hopefully tomorrow we're talking about, okay, that looked good. Cole Hamels is on the way back, and he's a part of the starting rotation now. Because you said it earlier, Randy, and you're right. They need Cole Hamels.
Yeah,
Cole Hamels is a necessity right now. That's how bad things have gotten with the starting rotation. These next three starts for him that he's got time to get in before the playoffs start, they need him to be good. Otherwise, they don't have a third starter in the playoffs.
Hey, man, let's go. But because this is why I want him to be good, right? Because every time he's good, we can throw it in Brian's face, which is the part I like.
That's a great point.
That's the part I love. I just saw the pairing for the U.S. Open. Is it Dustin Johnson that don't like Bryson D? Is it Koepka, right? Okay. Yeah, because they're partnered up. So I didn't know if it was him or Koepka that didn't like him. Okay.
Do you know that you just officially became the first member of the team to mention the U.S. Open this week?
Yeah, because it just came across my TV screen.
We're rubbing off on you, Randy.
No, you're not. No.
Yes, we are.
you can't rub off on me, man. I got that. I don't even know what I was going to say, but I got that. Yeah. I got that non-rubber off effect, man. You can't rub off on me.
All right, I'll keep trying.
One thing to rub off me is my latest hands.
Dan Quinn was on with Duke Sabel yesterday. We'll let you hear what the coach had to say coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The world of sports has changed. And when it comes to Atlanta sports fans, no one keeps you up to date like we can. We're covering what matters here, locally in the world of sports. For continuing updates, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, since Randy mentioned the U.S. Open, I guess 20 minutes from now, we'll make our picks for the weekend. Just like we did for the PGA Championship.
Oh,
everybody
man,
gets to pick two golfers.
Whatever, man. Nobody studying that, dude. Hey, Brian, I know this is your doing, okay? Just put me down for two UGA golfers, Bubba and somebody else, all right? And I go on a break.
Hey, I mean, look, pick Kistner. Pick Kevin Kistner. He's cooler. Kistner.
You know why I ain't going to pick Kevin Kistner? Because you want me to.
Well, he's a Georgia guy. He's your guy. He's the one that made that funny joke about no Georgia Tech guys at the Tour Championship. He asked a reporter, how many are there? He said, you know what it rhymes with? Hero. Because, you know, zero. Pretty good. Kevin, you would like Kevin Kistner a lot, okay? And I know you don't want to like him or pick him because I'm offering him up. But he's your type of guy. He's a Georgia Bulldog, you know, dip-chewing, beer-drinking, trash-talking type of guy.
Okay. I can deal with that.
All right, you would like him, I promise you. All right, we'll get to that and some damn good questions with Brian coming up in 20 minutes. Dan Quinn is on with Dukes and Bell every single Tuesday throughout the season at 3:10 if you want to hear it live. It's always posted on the website, podcast as well. You can rewind on radio.com and catch it, and we'll let you hear it on our show on Wednesdays as well. And they start off asking the head coach yesterday, what do you need to do from week one to week two to improve?
Sure, I think number one, to be the type of team we want to be, we've got to create some takeaways. And so to leave the game without any doesn't allow you to get into the plus. And so we had one on the punt that we had to fake. And then the Hail Mary at the end of the game, for Matt, I thought, that one I'm not putting into the same category as a turnover, in the middle of the game or in the field. So that part, we've got to make sure we can, create some takeaways and create some advantages, where we can give the offense a short field or score on defense. So those things we have to get there. And then I'd like to see our execution in our, third and fourth downs into the short yardage and get that space in order because we want to be aggressive, we want to be bold, and we've got to be able to execute in those moments. We've got the right people to do it, and it'll certainly pay dividends for us in the future, but we've got to be able to execute in those moments. There are high reward, high risk, but with the group that we have, we've got to be able to go nail them.
It's our weekly visit with Dan Quinn, guys, on your home of the Falcons, live from Cowboys, AT&T Stadium. You'll hear our crew, and hopefully Wes will be there with Arch at 1 o'clock right here on 92.9 The Game. Speaking of Russell Wilson, Dak is not as good as Russell, but he's certainly getting there. And we got a good handle on Russell in the first half. Tack came out like on fire. Dante, Grady doing his usual work. Did they move Russell in the pocket? Why were we less effective stopping him in the second half?
Well, I think they didn't move him as much. They had a good complement. There was quick game, some screens. They moved him out some. Max protected some. So I thought they did a good job of knowing when to keep him in, and they could max or spread everything out. So he certainly threw some accurate balls. A couple of deep balls to the tight end, the receiver, the number guys got involved. But for certainly as we're getting into this game and Prescott, he's someone that can make plays with his legs as well. You saw him scramble nearly for a touchdown on the Sunday night game, and for a long time he's been somebody that can extend plays. So similar in terms of style, but not the same quarterbacks, but certainly similar in terms of their ability to create and make plays on the run.
Coach, Falcon fans are asking us, hey, can you ask Coach about the helmet-to-helmet, what appeared to be helmet-to-helmet, at least that's how I saw it, Coach, when Adams hit Russell Gage. I know you talked to the officials. What was the explanation? Because there was a no call there, and I thought it was obvious.
Well, I think when they went back, the deep judge had the best view, and they thought that as the contact came in, that he turned his shoulder to the side, and so that's what they went with. And as you're going through it, those are super fast, bang bang kind of plays, and so Russ's head was down on the way into the tackle as well. So it wasn't a good position that either of the guys want to be in from a tackling standpoint. So I think the person with the best view was the back judge, and he just said, He did turn his head at the last second, and our player was also, you know, going head first. So I think that when they recognized he tried to make a move at the end, that's why they didn't assess the foul.
Dan Quinn with us here talking about Falcons getting ready for the Cowboys. But, yeah, it's just speaking of 33, man, Jamal Adams is all over the place. Did Matt have an ability in some cases to check out, or, I mean, just tip your cap and say they were just using him the right way?
Yeah, we in a lot of plays we have the ability to check out. You know, he was blitzing on some. Some we had good runs where it went away from the blitz. You know, we were able to, you know, I think maybe on the opening play of the game was long run by Todd. So a little bit of cat and mouse working away when he's to the point or when he wasn't. But they definitely featured him more in the blitzing role than they have in the past. And I think that's where his strengths are, you know, as a run and hit player. So, but yeah, we always have options that are, you know, can check out when you can. And sometimes a good disguise can hold that where you, you know, after the fact when it's a blitz, you don't have the protection that you want, but there was a bunch of explosive plays that we made too, and so you know, for our offense to have the amount of big plays it had, certainly Matt and the guys, you know, had their share of those as well.
Dan Quinn, our guest, guys, each and every week exclusively right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What kind of problems does Ezekiel Elliott cause for a defense coach?
Well, I think he's an unusual player because he has the speed and quickness of a smaller back. But he's got the size of a, you know, he's 220 pounds, and he can really accelerate through contact. So some guys who are small backs just have speed. They can bounce out to get to the edge, but they don't have this strong inside runs. And much like Gurley, I think Elliott, as he gets closer to the goal line, that's when I think he's really at his best. He scored a bunch of touchdowns, you know, from you know, inside the red zone from different distances. But I think his ability to lower shoulder, he's got great balance, and then he has an acceleration of a smaller player. So I thought, you know, an unusual player to have the size to play inside but the speed to bounce it outside. So you've got to do a great job of tackling him because he can make you miss.
Dan Quinn's with us, guys, talking about the Falcons and the Cowboys. Your interior line player, are we going to see Matt Hennessy in the next couple of weeks? How's he looking?
Yep, and so it was Matt's first time we rotated him with Carp, and we'll see some more of that as we're going through this week. And that'll probably be the case, you know, for a few weeks as we're, you know, getting settled in on where we're at. Both players, Carp and Matt, you know, had good points in their game that we liked, and so we're going to continue to work the both of them into the lineup this week. And it'll sort itself out over the next few weeks, but that's how we're heading into this game as well.
Coach, what'd you see with the Cowboys? I know, you know, you're watching them, and they played on Sunday night after we were done. What did you see that impressed you about their football team?
Well, I think defensively, you have a sense for, you know, who some of the front players are for them and at linebacker. And so Jalen Smith and Alden Smith, DeMarcus Lawrence, Everson Griffin, Dontari Poe, those are names that all of us have heard and, you know, seen guys, you know, make, you know, significant plays through their career. So you have a sense for who those guys are and what some of their, you know, skill sets are. On the offensive side, obviously, it, you know, goes through Ezekiel in a lot of ways because here's a player that can be effective running it out of the backfield on catches, on the screen game, and they have three really capable receivers who can make plays in Cooper and Gallup and Lamb. And so, you know, the combination of the three and using them in different ways, those have, you know, that they're a handful and a problem. And up front on the offensive line, Zach Martin and Tyron Smith are, you know, just as good as you can be at their positions and have been that way for a long time. So those are some of the standout players for us. We talked about Prescott earlier, obviously, but lots of matchups all over. That's what makes each week in the NFL so much fun, man. It's just different teams, different matchups. How do we feature guys? How's the game plan unfold based on their scheme and their players? And that's really what we're doing this week as our preparation is fully underway for Dallas.
I know that Belichick was asked the question, what was this like? He said, practice. But it had to be surreal, though, to be in such a gigantic stadium like Mercedes-Benz. Now you go to a bigger one at AT&T next week, but nobody in it.
It is. You're talking about, like, without the fans there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was definitely worthwhile for us to go through that experience of having some scrimmages there because it is different, you know, to, you know, there's some ambient noise in the background, a little bit of noise, but you could definitely hear, you know, on the field, across the sidelines, you know, guys yelling and back and forth. So it's definitely some getting used to, but the most important thing, a thing that made it awesome, man, is we're back playing. And so many people had to make so many sacrifices to earn the right to play. And so for the whole NFL in general, man, it was we weren't sure, you know, just a few months ago what this would look like and could we get it done and could we get to that space and have the discipline to keep doing it right. So a lot of people have made huge sacrifices to get to this space. And so that's why I think 2020 is going to be such a special year because so many people have put so much into it to give everybody a shot to let it rip. And we want to take every advantage we can.
Coach, just out of curiosity, do you handle wins and losses? And I'm about to say this differently. Of course you do, but are there traditional things that you do on a Sunday after a win or loss? Like, what does Coach Quinn do when you get, you know, back to wherever you got to get back to? What's the start of your process? Or do you just sit back and relax for a few hours? What's the process for you?
No, it's the biggest time that you're reflective on it, you know, and you first kind of look into, you know, what was good and what you like about the game plan and where you went. And so for us, you know, we were talking about pass protection and knowing that was an area that we certainly wanted to improve on. It showed we did. Then you kind of get into, all right, what needs to improve? For me, I'm always, you know, is there some things that we learned about the unit, especially, or the team in the first few weeks of the season? And then after you go through those questions, you get back to, all right, what actions to take? And it's what changes need to be made, what extra emphasis going in to go before the game. I just didn't know how we'd tackle, and we ended up tackling well, and I thought we spent a lot of time on it, so that's good to see that pay off. Now there's some other things that need our attention and our work, and we're going to work like crazy to get that in order too. But, yeah, it's a post-game win or loss. It's a big time to reflect on it and just keep aiming at getting better. And that's just 1 week at a time and just throwing it all in for that week and that game and your improvement, and then you keep stacking as you're going. And so I sense that's what this team will do. They've had a fantastic camp. We didn't throw the game that we wanted in our opener, but heading back into yesterday, that's our tell the truth day where we get to the bottom of it, right, and then we turn the page and put all our focus and attention on the next game. So that's the process. We trust it. We believe in it. We try not to look too far down the road, just being right where we're at and saying, all right, how are we going to get better? And that's what our focus and our aim usually is.
And that's kind of what we heard from some of your players, some of your leaders, hearing that from Julio and hearing from Matt and everybody else, and Grady as well. So everybody's on the same page. It was cool, though, to see Gurley being so electric early on. That was fun as a Falcon fan and for a lot of Georgia fans. I know you had to like what you saw.
I definitely did, and you just felt his intent. He's a bigger man than you think, you know. So you're next to him, you're like, man, you can see why this guy's got so many touchdowns down the red zone. He's such a physical runner, and so we're going to try to feature him in the very best ways we can. But we got a lot of work to do to get and play in the style and attitude that we want. And, you know, those are good behind our own closed-door meeting to make sure we're getting those things done. And we'll certainly do that. So we can't wait to get back going together. It's a hard-working team that has the attitude and the energy right. Now we got to go play like we're capable of playing, and we'll get the results we want.
Let's hope they do. Let's hope they do. That's Dan Quinn yesterday with Dukes and Bell talking about what it's going to take to improve and beat the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. We'll spend a lot of time talking about that in the 1 o'clock hour tomorrow and Friday as well. Coming up next, some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt, and we're going to talk about really long grass. And I'm really excited to talk about it. And I'm not kidding. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. There it is. There it absolutely is, Randy.
What is that?
It's the USGA theme song.
Get the hell out of here, man.
That NBC Sports has the right to. That we have not been able to hear for 6 years because the U.S. Open's been on Fox for the last 6 years. I didn't hate the Fox coverage as much as everybody else did. I think they did some things with the shot tracker and some of the stats that actually revolutionized golf coverage. But that's neither here nor there. The U.S. Open's back on NBC starting tomorrow, Randy. And that means we get to hear that beautiful song once again.
Who gives a damn?
Not I do. Maybe. Very, very
oh,
much.
I know you're
I
Brian, dude.
I give so many damns. Like, all the dams I have are given to
who
that
cares?
Right now.
Who
I care.
Cares?
God, I care so much.
Nobody
I care
cares.
So, I care so much about things that so few people care about, like that and the Pac-12. Like, the first thing that came to my mind today was, what about the Pac-12? Everybody's like, yes, the Big Ten's back, a legitimate college football playoff. Like, what about us?
Well, you should give a damn about this. I got just what do you say? Just Ramos? Whatever his name is, he's. Uh-huh. I never would have thought, but now I do know that Magic City has black bean burgers. Now, The only issue, and I don't have a lot of issues, because, again, I haven't been in Magic City in forever. It's been so long since I've been over to Magic. And so I would not be surprised as strip clubs are going bougie now. All right? Mm-hmm. What'd I tell you, Andy? I don't need no conversation. I don't need no food. All I need is you to shake it. All right? That's it. I don't need nothing else. All right? But now they got black bean burgers and Magic? Are you kidding me?
Not only that, it's a black bean burger, and it's got sweet potato fries on the side, or, if you want to make it show appropriate, yam fries. They got yam fries on the side of the black bean burger.
So
next time I'm there, that's what I'm going to get.
No, no. Well, we won't be going together, because ain't no way in the hell you order no black bean burger with me, because I don't want nobody looking at me like, he with you? Yeah. He with you? Yeah.
You could lie to him and say, no, I don't know. I don't know him.
He with you? Yeah, he with me.
Yeah. No. But no, what would be worse? Truly's in your garbage can, garbage man thinking you're soft, going to Magic City with me ordering a black bean burger.
Well, the thing about it is that I can get around the black bean burger because it's yams in my face, so I'm cool. You know what I'm saying?
Good point.
Like the perception of a garbage man, because you know you just don't want nobody to think of you like that, man. I just can't do it. But yeah, I mean, black bean burger at the strip club. That's almost like the buffet at the shake joint. That's why I don't never eat buffet at the shake, man. I just can't do it, man. You might get an armpit hair or something in your taters or something. Oh. So I stay away from buffets and shake joints. But damn, Magic.
Yeah, it's just proof that we as a culture are evolving. People want to eat
healthy. What the
healthy
hell is
they want to eat healthy while they're enjoying, enjoying a show. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's get to some damn good questions with Brian. How about let's do that?
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dow 678 ESOG now. Hi, Brian.
Randy, you had to give us a little bit of credit that we waited this long to bring up any sort of golf talk.
Randy brought it up.
I know, but come on. I waited on purpose for you, Randy, and you were the one who brought it up.
So what's your damn point, Brian?
My point is I would like to credit Andy and myself for holding off on any sort of Tiger talk, any sort of thing about thick grass, any of that. And you were the one who brought it up. That was my point.
Well, y'all get to it. All right. I mean, what y'all want to say? Okay, they play it at a place called Wingstop. Okay, cool.
No, it's all not right. Wingstop. Right. It's Wingfoot.
Let me get my first question.
Look how bad y'all just got because I called it Wingstop. Look how bad y'all just got. I know what it's called, but I wanted to call it Wingstop.
One of the great golf courses in the world, Wingstop.
Yeah. You just called it Wingstop.
I know. I was saying don't call it that. It's Wingfoot.
All right. U.S. Open. Let me ask a serious question here. Tiger is paired with Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa for the first two rounds of the U.S. Open at Winged Foot tomorrow and Friday. I want you to hear Tiger talk about how hard this course is, and then let me know if you think he's going to make the cut or not.
This golf course is going to be one of the more difficult ones. The winning scores here have never traditionally been very low. I don't see that changing this week. The golf course is it's going to be hard.
Yeah, there was a lot in that sigh, was it there? The last winning score at Wingfoot, Randy, back in 2006 when Jeff Ogilvie won because Phil Mickelson crapped down his leg, was +5. We're talking about seeing golfers play some, I don't want to call it bad golf because of how hard the conditions are, but they're going to hit shots and they're not going to look as great as they normally do. I think Tiger makes the cut by one stroke, like Tiger always does. And has an okay round on Saturday, and then, I don't know, kind of fades on Sunday. But I do think he'll make the cut. I don't think he's going to contend, but I think he'll make the cut.
All right. Well, I go with you on that one, Andy, because I know I just heard the clip. He was talking about Wingstop and how difficult it was to navigate and everything. So.
The disrespect.
And plus, you've been looking at everybody shooting in the 20s. Okay, they won't get nowhere near that. Nowhere near that at all.
I mean, in one round under par, if you shoot under par at this course even just once, you're in contention. And we'll see guys do it, but it's going to be brutal. I've seen a lot of it. The rough is insane, and I think they just cut it yesterday for the last time, and they're just going to keep letting it grow. So, just like U.S. Opens, you got to have a great short game. You got to hit it straight off the tee. Distance, of course, matters, but accuracy is more important this week. So that should inform your selections as we get to our draft. Right, Brian?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now we're here for the draft. Wendy's going to have the first pick, then Randy, then Andy, then myself.
Why does Wendy keep getting the first pick all the time?
Because she is a lady. You know this.
All right. And ladies go first?
You got a problem with that, Randy?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on,
I got a problem with what?
Don't this be, gentleman. Don't
be, yeah, really? y'all don't base y'all voice up at me, damn it.
yelling over Wingfoot. All right,
what's your damn first? Wing stop.
You know what? I'm just going to wing my picks. Speaking of the golf course.
I love it, Wendy.
This week, and I'm going to go with another food name. I'm going to pick Daniel Berger.
All right.
What the hell is that?
Exactly.
Daniel Berger. He's been playing really good golf. He's been playing really well.
Oh, I'm going Bubba. I got to get to Mehmet. Is that right? Damn it.
Bubba is not foreign. Bubba's from Florida.
Why am I thinking? I get everybody's confused. Everybody's damn thing confused. I want Bubba. I ain't going Bubba this week. I'm going with Dustin.
All right. That's a great pick, yeah. Dustin Johnson.
I'm going with Dustin.
I'm taking John Rahm.
Oh, you had to do that? You had to
I'm taking John Rahm.
Right in front of me like that?
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Taking him.
All right. I'm going to take the guy who just had, I believe it was a baby girl a week or two ago, as Randy would call him, the Australian, Rory McIlroy.
All right, Wendy.
And I'm going to go with Colin Morikawa.
Ooh, another good pick by Wendy. Randy?
Own y'all.
I'm going with Tiger Woods just so neither one of y'all can have him. I think Tiger is going to show up at Wingtip this weekend.
I'm glad you did that because I actually was thinking about picking him, even though I don't think he has a chance in hell to win.
Yeah, so but I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it anyway, despite y'all. So Tiger, Dustin, at wing piece.
All right, I'm going Xander Schauffele. I got Xander Schauffele with my second pick.
Get both my guys, huh? Just had to do it just like that. All right. I'm going to hate myself for this, so I apologize in advance to myself and everybody.
Don't do it. My friend
has got me a ball of this person as a gag gift, and it feels like an omen. I'm going to go with the long guy, Bryson DeChambeau.
No way. I'm going with it.
I think
first of all, there's no chance. No chance. Also, you should hate yourself.
Man, please. Are you talking about, like, on full wing? Come on, man.
This is the type of course he could win on, so I think he might
win. A wing cafe? Him hitting the ball as hard as he is there, that ball will be all over the place.
I think we've gotten our fill of wing jokes. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour.
Damn, wings and things course.
We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.